Good morning and welcome. This weekend marks the end of our liturgical calendar, which concludes with our celebration of the Solemnity of Christ the King, a solemnity that has been established as an annual reminder to all of us that our Lord and Savior is indeed a King. And since He is our King, then we are His and we belong to His kingdom. How appropriate that our gospel for this solemnity would focus on the very question of whether or not Jesus is a king. This is the question that Pilate asks of our Lord. Pilate does not ask this for his own personal knowledge, but rather to further investigate, or rather to judge, if there is any crime that Jesus has done that would warrant the punishment of death. For if he is indeed a king, then that could be seen as a threat to Caesar and grounds for the death penalty. It was the Jewish leaders who had brought Jesus to Pilate, claiming that Jesus was a criminal whose crimes mandated that he receive such a harsh penalty as the death penalty. Pilate begins to ask Jesus if he is indeed the king of the Jews. Jesus never really affirms it, nor does he deny the claim of being a king. Rather, he turns the tables on Pilate by asking Pilate if he asked this question because of what others have told him or because of what Pilate has come to know about our Lord. The conversation between the two of them continues on with Jesus claiming that his kingdom does not belong to this world and that his kingdom is not here. Jesus is carefully answering Pilate's question, not in a way to avoid it, but rather to clarify a sometimes overlooked point about the question that Pilate asks of Jesus. Pilate's understanding of what it means to be a king and of what is a kingdom is based upon an earthly definition and understanding of kings and kingdoms. Earthly kingdoms are established by the usage of power and might. Oftentimes, a king rules by exhibiting the power of his military against that of another king. This is the definition that Pilate has with regards to the title of a king and of a kingdom. Therefore, in accordance to this definition of a king, Jesus cannot truthfully answer yes to his question. For while it is true that Jesus is indeed a king, and he does have a kingdom, it is not in a manner that Pilate would be able to understand. It is a kingdom that is not established by the use of military power, but rather by love and mercy. The kingship of Jesus is established by the power of God's merciful love for the world. It is not a kingdom that is established by military power, or by intimidation and fear, nor is it established by the threat of punishing those who stand in opposition. Instead, the kingship of our Lord is established by God's merciful love for us. Remember the words that Jesus spoke from the cross, just prior to him entering into his glory and into his kingdom. Jesus proclaimed, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." Jesus is a king of mercy and forgiveness. Also, let us never forget that Jesus was sent down to this world not to condemn it, but instead to redeem it. Jesus states to Pilate, "For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." What is this truth that Jesus speaks of? The Old Testament attests that God is the source of all truth. In Jesus Christ, the whole of God's truth has been made manifest. Full of grace and truth, Jesus came as the light of the world. He is the truth. Jesus came into the world to testify to the truth of God. Everyone who belongs to God listens to the voice of our Lord. Yet unfortunately, there are those in this world who have fallen prey to the darkness that so oftentimes attempts to consume this world of ours. This was the challenge that Pilate was faced with when Jesus was brought before him. While we don't hear this in our gospel account, if we were to continue reading along in John's gospel, we would hear Pilate lament to Jesus, "What is truth?" Pilate is a man who must answer to an earthly king, a king who has established his kingdom by power and might and force. Pilate leaves Jesus to go and speak with the Jewish leaders and people about he himself has not found any guilt in Jesus to warrant punishing him, much less crucifying him. And following a rather lengthy exchange and conversation between Pilate and the people, Pilate will find himself wrestling with the issue of what to do with Jesus, since he himself finds Jesus to be innocent of any crime. Yet the people press on, until finally the people declare that if Pilate was to release Jesus, then he is not a friend of Caesar, for anyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar. In hearing these words, then Pilate finally, maybe reluctantly, but nonetheless, he finally rules that Jesus is guilty and hands him over to be crucified. Maybe Pilate did so because he feared Caesar and what Caesar may do to him if he was to find out that Pilate had released our Lord. Maybe Pilate was afraid of losing his rank in government and of becoming poor and homeless. Who knows what fears may have led Pilate to give in to the demands of the people. All that is known is that Pilate had done what the world wanted him to do. It doesn't seem like much has changed since the days of Pilate. This world we live in continues to desire to live in darkness rather than to live in the light and truth of our Lord and King. The world teaches us to be vigilant against those who oppose us, against those who are different from us, and to live lives that are lived in fear of the darkness, rather than to live our lives as reflections of our Lord's love and mercy for others. At our most recent Theology Uncorked session, we learned a little bit more about the life of Father Stanley Rother, who was martyred for the faith in Guatemala by those who opposed the Catholic Church's insistence on catechizing the people about the truth of our Lord and Savior. What has touched me the most about the life of Father Stanley Rother is that prior to his martyrdom, he was removed from Guatemala and sent back home to Oklahoma for his own safety. Yet, it was his love of Christ and of teaching Christ's people about the truth of our Lord that had propelled him to return to Guatemala and to continue the good work of spreading the gospel of our Lord amongst the people down there. Father Stanley Rother courageously stood up to the darkness and testified to the truth of God. Pope Francis has declared that the new liturgical year is to be called a year of mercy. In preparation for the Year of Mercy, the relics of St. Maria Goretti were brought to the United States from Italy and had traveled to several dioceses to help the faithful prepare themselves for the Year of Mercy. Our own diocese had the privilege of hosting her relics just recently, and thousands of people from our own diocese turned out to venerate one of the youngest saints of the Church. A saint whose death was the result of a brutal assault brought on by a young neighbor boy. Upon her deathbed, and with her final words, she forgave her attacker and desired for him to be with her in heaven forever. In many ways, St. Maria Goretti testified to God's merciful love by showing mercy to her attacker, who, by the way, while he was serving his prison sentence, had received a vision of Saint Maria Goretti, who forgave him for the crime and harm he had committed towards her. From that moment onward, that young man, who had once allowed darkness to control his life, he began to live a life committed to our Lord and Savior, even to the point of becoming a Franciscan lay brother. All thanks to the mercy shown by Saint Maria Goretti, which helped lead another soul to becoming a member of our Lord's kingdom. In preparing the church for the upcoming year of mercy, Pope Francis has been using the image of a door of mercy. Just recently, Pope Francis referred to this door of mercy by stating that there will be the holy door, but it will be the door of God's great mercy. May it also be the door of our heart for us all to receive God's forgiveness and for us in turn to forgive, welcoming all those that knock on our door. Our Lord and King is willing to show us mercy. Let us also then be willing to spread the kingdom of our Lord by showing mercy to one another.